is Setting the Record Straight. On Breadbox Media, this is Chuck Coughlin. Today we're going to be talking about Halloween. Would you be surprised to find out that Catholics created Halloween and then had to restore it after Protestants, specifically the British, declared it illegal for more than a century, and it was illegal in the United States? Listen to how the Catholic Church started Halloween. And what about jack-o'-lanterns, trick-or-treat, and Halloween costumes? Do they have a Catholic origin, or are they anti-Catholic? Or are they pagan? Do they have a pagan origin? There's a bit of a debate over it. Let's set the record straight. First of all, do jack-o'-lanterns have a Catholic origin? Yes. For centuries, an Irish Catholic practice was to make an All Hallows Eve lantern by scooping out the inside of a turnip, a big turnip, carving a face and placing a lighted candle inside it. This was before the discovery of America and the introduction of the pumpkin into this practice. For Irish Catholic children, for centuries, it was customary to carry turnip lanterns door-to-door to represent the souls of the dead while begging for soul cakes, which was a type of scone, on All Saints Day, November 1st, and All Souls Day, November 2nd. This Irish Catholic custom evolved in the USA into our trick-or-treat custom. In the 1800s, jack-o'-lantern became the popular name for the turnip lantern. Many of the occult aspects of Halloween, ghosts and demons, actually have their roots in Catholic belief. It is a Catholic legend that on All Hallows Eve, the separations of earth from purgatory, heaven, and even hell become transparent as a veil. Ghosts and demons and the souls in purgatory were supposed to become visible, dressing up in Halloween costumes as these spirits became an Irish Catholic custom. Has a Catholic origin, since Halloween costumes were plainly Catholic activities. Halloween was made illegal in parts of Puritan New England and in the British Isles. This was during the Puritans movement in both countries, Britain and the colonies in America. Halloween, which of course is All Hallows Eve, a sacred feast, was also made illegal for 220 years in the British Isles, including Ireland. However, Irish Catholic immigrants to some other parts of the USA, like the South, not the New England colonies,
they celebrated Halloween by carving pumpkins, trick-or-treating, just as they had back in the old country of Ireland.
When you read the sentiment that was voiced at this time to justify making Halloween illegal, indeed Christmas illegal too, it's shocking to us, but it's true. The British made Christmas illegal for 220 years too. Any kind of Christmas feast was subject to a big fine. A Christmas tree was subject to a big fine. There were even some people imprisoned over celebrating Christmas or Halloween. And by celebrating, I mean they were fined even for the small little rituals that one might do at home that celebrated Christmas or Halloween. And in the New England colonies, the British colonies, that was true too. Now, this was not true in the American colonies of the South, or what became the South of the United States.
Although these customs were considered Catholic and not very widely observed among non-Catholics.
All this arose out of a sentiment of anti-Catholicism, or as they called it, anti-papist sentiments. So apparently we need to set the record straight, not only about some of the customs like the pumpkins and the trick-or-treating, the costumes, but the origin of the holiday itself. So let's do that. In the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, for 1400 years, the Solemnity of All Saints, All Saints Day, is celebrated on November 1st. It's a holy day of obligation, and it's the day on which the Church honors all of God's saints, even those who have not been canonized by the Church, because everyone who has reached heaven is a saint. So it's a feast day. It, of course, is a family day of celebration. We celebrate the memory of our family members, members of the mystical body, the communion of saints, who now share eternal happiness in the presence of God. We rejoice that they, too, have reached their eternal goal and ask their prayers on our behalf so that we too may join them in heaven and praise God through all eternity. The honoring of all Catholic martyrs of the faith was originally celebrated on May 13th, That date was established by the 4th century, Pope Boniface IV, in the year of our Lord of 610, established this honoring of All Martyrs' Day as the Feast of All Martyrs, commemorating the dedication of the Pantheon, an ancient Roman temple, into a Catholic church, which was dedicated then to the Blessed Virgin Mary and all the martyrs. In 844, Pope Gregory IV transferred the feast to November 1st. Some scholars believe this was to substitute a feast, pagan celebration. They often say it was specifically the Irish one of Samhain. That's spelled S-A-M-H-A-I-N, but pronounced Samhain. Some scholars, or would-be scholars, often with an anti-Catholic bent, have wanted to believe this was to substitute a feast for the pagan celebrations during that time of the year. There are harvest festivals in Ireland and Scotland and Celtic areas. But in other areas of the world, the church is global. In tropical areas, that's not the harvest festival time. Below the equator, the harvest festival is at the opposite time of the year. So the connection is pretty tenuous. There's only so many days on the calendar. When establishing a holiday, you're bound to collide with some pagan holiday somewhere in the world, no matter which of the 365 days you pick. So by 741, the feast included not only martyrs, but all the saints in heaven as well. And the title was changed to the Feast of All Saints. That was about the year Anno Domini, 840. Pope Sixtus IV in 1484 established November 1st as a holy day of obligation and gave it both a vigil, which was known as All Hallows Vigil or All Hallows Eve, was shortened by frequent use into Halloween. This gradually slurring of language often happens when people are illiterate. He also established an 8-day period or octave to celebrate the feast. But in 1955, the octave of All Saints was removed by the church. Since Vatican II, some liturgical observations have been altered, one example being the fast before the feast is no longer required. Originally, the days preceding great solemnities like Christmas, All Saints Day, had a penitential nature, requiring abstinence from meat, red meat, perhaps allowing fish, and also there were times of prayer. Although not by required by the church, it is a good practice to prepare before great feast days, spiritually and physically, body and soul. The word hallow is basically English. In areas that speak English, the Anglophone areas, saints or holy people are often referred to as hallowed. Think of our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Hence the name All Hallows Day or Hallow Mass. The evening or e'en before the feast became properly known as All Hallows Eve, or the shorter Halloween. Since the night before All Saints Day, All Hallows Eve, now known as Halloween, was a vigil requiring fasting, there are often recipes for special foods when the fast was over. And this gave origin to the Halloween goodies and contributed to the celebration of trick-or-treat. So even the word Halloween itself has a Catholic origin. Since the night before All Saints' Day, Halloween was the vigiling required fasting, many recipes and traditions have come down for the evening, such as pancake, boxty bread, and boxty pancakes. Boxty means made from potatoes. Barmbrack, which is Irish fruit bread with hidden charms in it. And colcannon, combination of cabbage and boiled potatoes. This was also known as Nutcrack Night in England, where the family gathered around the hearth to enjoy cider, nuts, and apples. Keep in mind, England at this time was very thoroughly Catholic, very safely so, because Henry VIII and even worse, Queen Elizabeth had not yet arrived to persecute Catholics. But of course, a far more serious persecutor of Catholics, making martyrs of Catholics, was Oliver Cromwell, the Puritan who ruled England, who really gave origin to the making of Halloween and Christmas illegal. In England, soul cakes are another traditional food. People would go begging for a soul cake and promise to pray for the donor's departed friends and family in exchange for the treat. That was an early version of the soul cake. So the soul cake itself is an early version of today's trick-or-treat. What about All Souls Day? Well, November 1st was the date designated to pray for all the departed souls in purgatory, the Feast of All Souls for those in purgatory. In many countries, this is an important day. Families cook special foods and make a special day's outing to cemeteries, to their family graves and family tombs, which they tend and clean up, and perhaps take flowers to. Perhaps scrubbing the tombstones, keeping them free of lichens and moss. They tend to the graves, and they may even kneel and pray for the family dead. The twin feasts of All Saints and All Souls Day.
All Saints, November 1st. All Souls, the next day, November 2nd.
Fall back to express the Catholic belief of the communion of saints. The communion of saints is the union of the faithful on earth, the church militant, and the saints in heaven, the church triumphant, and of course the poor souls in purgatory, the church suffering, with Christ as the head. So we have the communion of saints, the church militant, the church triumphant, and the church suffering. These three are bound together by a supernatural bond and can help one another. The church militant, those still on earth engaged in the struggle to save their own souls, can venerate the church triumphant, those in heaven. And those saints can intercede with God for those still on earth. And both the faithful on earth and the saints in heaven do pray for the souls in purgatory.
Let me step aside from our story here for a minute. We keep the lights on here at Breadbox Media with your contributions. You can sponsor a particular show host in his or her podcast if you want to. If you check around on my webpage and the main webpages of Breadbox Media and the other show hosts, you'll find ways to contribute to support the shows you like or support the entire project. While you're listening, why don't you look around on the website, see what you think. Let's go on talking about Halloween.
About the Catholic origins of Halloween, despite what you hear everywhere, that it's a holiday with pagan origins. It does coincide on the calendar, vaguely coincide, with holidays in various cultures. But any day on the calendar coincides with some holiday in some culture somewhere in the world. The church is global. Church holidays were not established just to coincide with one particular country's holidays of pre-Catholic origin. In this case, not, as is often claimed on websites and publications everywhere, from an Irish or Scottish Celtic holiday. The church is global. Now, before the break, we were talking about some Catholic customs of prayer and fasting that coincided or preceded, because they were preparation for these feasts, the Feast of All Souls and All Saints, of All Hallows Eve, All Saints Eve. On All Souls Day and throughout November, especially the period of the 1st of November through the 8th, one can gain plenary indulgences for those poor souls in purgatory. You might look up on the internet praying for the dead and gaining indulgences. Perhaps you might do a search on Catholic Answers website. Or if you want to review something really profound and lengthy and complete, look at the Catholic Encyclopedia on the internet. You can find it on a website called The New Advent. It's a good website. Look at it.
It's no ordinary encyclopedia. It's extraordinary. It's vast.
When you look at it on the shelf of a library, it goes on and on for several shelves. Well, what about the Catholic roots of Halloween? Are you wondering why I'm saying that Halloween itself, the celebration itself, has a Catholic origin? Well, let's set the context for this. Because through the centuries, people, men, women, and children, have struggled to keep their focus on the one true faith and its practices. So many times, though, the pagan superstitions crept back into practice. Although now with a holier purpose, when preparing for the huge feast of All Saints, some pagan cult of the dead practices did seep into the mainstream and become altered in a Catholic fashion. In our modern times, it's getting harder to be in the world, but not of the world. How can you explain to our children about the top money-making, over-commercialized holiday of the year, Christmas? We have an onslaught of Halloween witches, ghosts, ghouls, goblins, vampires. Everywhere we turn, there's a little prayer from ghosts and ghoulies and long-legged beasties. Good Lord, preserve us. So how do we bring a message to our children to say that being a Catholic does not mean we can't have fun? How do we convey that we must not constantly be negative and condemn everything? To answer this, we must put on the mind of the church. All through the centuries, the church has taken secular feasts and sanctified or Catholicized them. The feast day of All Saints arose from a very Catholic event, It came from the dedication of the old temple of the Pantheon in Rome into a Catholic church, honoring all the saints, all the martyrs, and the Blessed Virgin Mary. Sanctifying a building like the Pantheon is undoubtedly another way of sanctifying the secular and pagan. Missionaries, when they go to an area that is still pagan, still not Christian or Catholic, the first thing they must do is get to know the culture and religion of the country before they can convert the native people of that country. The Jesuits were outstanding in this and would live for years among the people, learning their customs, their language intimately, often writing their language for the first time, and learning their habits day to day, and learning their big feasts, and if they have a calendar, learning what time in the year that they would observe certain practices and rituals. Now, any of these rituals that were contrary to something about the Catholic faith, of course they wouldn't adopt it. But often something like a planting festival or a harvest festival or a marriage, being very natural human customs, would easily join with the natural ancestral human customs that came from the traditions of the Catholic Church with their Greco-Judeo origins. So missionaries have to get to know the culture and religion of the country before they convert the Aboriginal people of that country. They have to be able to find some elements in their culture that the people can relate to, that help these people identify and understand Catholicism at their level. St. Paul tried it with the Greeks, it's that old. Seeing their altar to the unknown God, he saw that through their own pagan altar, he was going to bring them to Catholicism. Instead of just suppressing the whole very natural celebration of a harvest festival, the church gives a replacement focus. Now, Halloween does coincide with harvest festivals and with the beginning of the cold season in temperate countries, I might add. After all, the church is global, and the time of the year scarcely coincides with the harvest festivals below the equator. Half the world doesn't have a harvest festival at that time. But that half of the world is becoming extremely Catholic, and they observe Halloween on the same days we do. The church did supply a replacement focus. The church has the mindset of how can this be turned to good with a focus on the one true God and His church. Since All Saints and All Souls feasts are together, long ago, 1400 years ago. The focus of that time of year of the harvest festival, such as Samhain, which was the Irish and Scottish Celtic festival. So many people who are supposedly scholars and historians, viewing this very narrowly from one culture, think that Samhain was the origin of Halloween.
So since All Saints and the next day All Souls Day are together,
we combine the honoring the saints in heaven, remembering our loved ones, and directing the destiny of our own souls by prayers and actions. Through this, we might see the mystical body incarnated in all our actions.
So does Halloween have a pagan origin? Actually, no. The occult aspects of Halloween, ghosts and demons, actually have their roots in Catholic belief. So despite contemporary rumors, such as those contained in the Wikipedia article about Halloween, about the pagan origins of Halloween, there really are none of any significance. The first mischievous attempts to show some connection between the Vigil of All Saints and the Celtic Harvest Festival, or Samhain, came over 1,000 years after All Saints' Day was already a universal Catholic feast day. There was no connection between those until recently, very recently in history, when the attempt to make the connection was first voiced. There's no evidence whatsoever that Pope Gregory III or Pope Gregory IV was even aware of Samhain when they established Halloween. Actually, when they established All Saints' Day and All Hallows' Eve. In the earliest centuries, Catholics were accustomed to solemnize the anniversary of each martyr's death at the place of that person's martyrdom. There got to be so many martyrs, though, that the calendar was crowded.
and observing these feast days was often a very local matter. In the 4th century, neighboring Catholic dioceses began to interchange feasts and relics, and to join in a common feast day. You can look this up under St. Basil, around 379 A.D., who had established a common feast day. Groups of martyrs often were executed on the same day, which naturally then did lead to a joint commemoration for those martyrs. Now, under the persecutions of Diocletian, which were very severe, the number of martyrs became so great that a separate day could not be assigned to each one. Feeling that every martyr should be venerated, the Catholic Church appointed a common day for all. So that started around 373 AD. Other saints were added to the list. A regular process of canonization was established. Finally, in 609, or it could have been 610, Pope Boniface IV established an annual feast day. He sort of gathered all these feast days into one that became All Saints' Day and All Saints' Eve. Finally, Pope Gregory III in the 700s consecrated a chapel in St. Peter's to All Saints and fixed the anniversary on a much more convenient day, November 1st. Gregory IV, known as Gregory the Great, in the 800s, extended the celebration on November 1st to the entire Catholic Church. All Hallows' Eve did not start as the Celtic holiday of Samhain, as claimed by most of the top-of-the-list websites that a Google search presents. These attest in their text, all copied and pasted from one very slanted history to another, that the autumnal herding and harvesting festivals, which were observed in a few minor Celtic localities, were the foundation of the worldwide Catholic holiday. This makes no sense. The global Catholic world, even in their early centuries, included areas with no seasons or with opposite seasons, or even all the documentation of the Church recording the reasons for creating All Hallows' Eve contain no mention of Samhain. Samhain played no part in the reasoning of Pope Boniface in 609, or Pope Gregory IV around 800 AD, when he moved the day to November 1st on his calendar. Yes, this was a very smart pope. This is the Pope Gregory who created a calendar that is now used by every country in the world.
Even the People's Republic of China has adopted the use of the Gregorian calendar because it wants to do business with the world that is on the Gregorian calendar,
Pope Gregory's calendar. The calendar that we all shape and determine our lives' activities by is one more great gift of the Catholic Church. It's Pope Gregory's calendar, and the dates on that calendar that the world adopted are often the oldest dates for those events, for events occurring at very similar times. Well, let's reflect on a few of the other rituals about Halloween. The accumulating decorations and very local customs of costumes and cider and pumpkins and ritualistic harvest festivals were all added to All Hallows' Eve, most of them a millennium later. People in the Philippines have even added colorful kites to decorate the graves of their relatives. However, they didn't think that this addition gave them a right to claim that they had invented All Hallows' Eve, Halloween. Incidentally, the Irish added the costumes to the harvest festivals after they became Catholics, not before. So the costumes have a Catholic origin. Of course, the early costumes were generally of angels and demons and famous saints. It is a rather peculiar position, and perhaps a little bit arrogant, for the people of the Anglosphere, the English speakers, to have claimed that pagans invented Halloween when their government made Halloween celebrations illegal, precisely because they were anti-Catholic, and they well knew that it was a Catholic holiday. That it was Catholic was the reason that they banned it and suppressed it to begin with. The British had a lot of laws, the penal laws, suppressing Catholics. There were so many laws that they threw in a 220-year-long ban on observing Halloween. They certainly understood it was a Catholic holiday, for that was their sole reason for enacting the ban. Anti-papism. Any minor violation meant time in prison. So, for good measure, the British also banned Christmas celebration of the same 220 years as being of Catholic origin. They even arrested anyone who dared to bake a mince pie at Christmas time. This tide of anti-Catholicism was imported into colonial America, so Christmas and Halloween were banned here too, especially so in New England. So where did we get Halloween? When did we reenact it? When did we recover Halloween? Well, there was a great Irish immigration in the 1800s, and it was Irish immigrants who brought Halloween with them, and German Catholics later who brought Christmas with them. They got into trouble in this country if they were noticed observing these two holy days, but they did it anyway. And in the South, they did it freely. But there was a subtle desire to have these celebrations, among everyone, I think. So they tried to find a way to accommodate them. A solution was found in the sentimental secular literature of the 19th century, The Christmas Carol and The Night Before Christmas. Both of these works are so scrubbed of any hint or scent of Catholicism that everyone gradually relaxed. They started having Halloween again. They started having Christmas again, at least in a certain way. So they did begin observing this very chronologically myopic, that is, history-forgetting, tradition of having Dickens' Christmas Carol as a play and reading it at Christmas time. And of course, everyone recited "'Twas the Night Before Christmas" and all through the house. What did they do in the night before Christmas to avoid the Catholicism? Well, they kept St. Nicholas attired as a bishop. However, St. Nicholas, who was the bishop of Myra in the early centuries, was neutralized into a, quote, jolly old elf, an elf,
instead of a Catholic bishop.
It worked. Our secular culture and our Protestant culture could stomach it, scrubbed free of its Catholicism. And by the late 1800s, our president was able to establish Christmas as an official holiday. He was very careful not to call it a holy day, as was everyone. It was not a holy day.
Let's reflect a minute upon the word holiday. It's a degenerated pronunciation of another Catholic term. Holy day became holiday.
Wow. As these two holidays were commercialized and secularized, corresponding politically correct myths had to be invented. Thus, we have the erroneous claim that the Celtic pagans invented a Halloween. It's too uncomfortable not to believe this myth. My gosh, what if the Catholic Church is true? Let us not have a hint that the Catholic Church is the true church created by Christ. What about pumpkins and corn? Two items often displayed on Halloween. Pumpkins and corn are American natives and were two of the decorations added to the celebration of Halloween
after Europeans emigrated to America.
And we display these, often covering over the real meaning of All Hallows Eve. But at least we don't claim that our American Indians invented Halloween because they harvested the native pumpkins when everyone else in the Northern Temperate Zone harvested. It is true that in Celtic peasant cultures,
certain elements of ancient harvest celebrations do survive,
even among some Catholics. But that's only natural, since All Hallows Eve coincides, as I said, with the local harvest and herding time. But that's only in the temperate zones of the Northern Hemisphere. You think of Pope Gregory's calendar. There's only 365 days on it, and these govern all the business of the whole world. So this standard calendar is like an interstate highway. If I-75 is crowded with semi-trucks, that doesn't mean that because you're out there coinciding with them,
that the trucks gave you the idea of going somewhere at that time.
It's a sad thing. There seems to be a persistent desire of antagonists of the Catholic Church to obscure the immense influence of Catholic culture upon the everyday life we all share. One of our daring propositions on setting records straight is the Catholic Church largely created many, if not most, of the welcome aspects of our culture, which even the antagonists themselves inhabit.
Unconscious that they have inherited a treasure from their forebears, from their ancestors.
It is apparent after centuries of attempts to obscure such influence that these antagonists certainly don't want to credit the Catholic Church for our holidays. Just as the word holiday is just a degeneration of the words holy day, so the word Halloween is just a degeneration of the word All Hallows Eve. The prevalence of the term Halloween has allowed the scoundrels that are always among us to cast a fog of mishistory over the real purpose of the night before All Saints' Day. Could there ever be a clearer demonstration of traditionalists' justifiable insistence on the correct use of language? The French are rather strong on this. They have legislation against the degeneration of use of words of the French language. And our own traditionalists certainly insist on the correct use of language. There's a reason for this. Meaning's significance is lost. We have an example with Halloween. Notice as the term Halloween became progressively mispronounced, there was a parallel decay of the actual celebrations of the nights before All Saints' Day into its present disarray as an atheistic celebration of pranks, candy, and the dressing up of children as demons. You look around today and there's very few angel costumes. There's many zombie and serial killer fiend costumes, but precious few children dressed up as saints. Pagan superstitions do creep back into practice. These current attempts at the elimination of the original purpose of Halloween aren't the first. In post-Reformation England, All Saints' Day and its vigil were suppressed, as I said, and the Celtic peasant customs that had become associated with Halloween were outlawed also. Christmas and the traditions surrounding it were similarly made illegal. The Puritan Parliament banned Christmas outright in 1647. In America, Puritans outlawed the celebration of both Christmas and Halloween. As I said before, these were revived largely by German Catholics in the case of Christmas and Irish Catholics in the case of Halloween. During the immigrations of the 19th century, the commercialization of Halloween continued. Continued opposition to Halloween was largely an expression of anti-Catholicism as well as anti-Irish prejudice. But by the early 20th century, Halloween, like Christmas, became highly commercialized and thus accepted by the society at large. Pre-made costumes, decorations, and special candy all became widely available. And the Catholic origins of Halloween were not just downplayed, but erased almost completely. The rise of the slasher films, the horror films of the late 70s and 80s, contributed to Halloween's bad reputation, as did the claims of the Wiccans and the Satanists. They had to create a false mythology in which Halloween had been their festival, co-opted later by Catholics and by other Christians. So this was part of the second backlash against Halloween by non-Catholic Christians. Another feature of it began in the 80s, in part because of claims that Halloween was the, quote, devil's night, in part because of urban legends about razor blades and apples, and in part because of an explicit opposition to Catholicism. There was a famous man, cartoonist. His name was Jack Chick. He was rabidly anti-Catholic, a fundamentalist, who distributed Bible tracts in the form of small comic books. He helped lead the charge. If you want to, you can look up Jack Chick, C-H-I-C-K, Jack Chick. Setting the record straight needs to address that with a program sometime. But by the late 1990s, even many Catholic parents, unaware of the anti-Catholic origins of the attack on Halloween, had begun to question Halloween as well, and alternative celebrations became popular. You know what I think? As Catholics, we should recover, and can recover, and redesign our celebration of All Hallows' Eve. This is one man's opinion, but I think we can repair the culturally constructive aspects of Halloween celebrations rather than continue to give in to the destructive appetites of our outer culture. You know, as I speak to you, it's almost Halloween. It's in a few days from this moment. Every year at this time, I start wondering, how can we repair and refresh the sacred meaning of this holiday to restore the beautiful drama of All Hallows' Eve, All Saints' Day, and All Souls' Day? That perhaps we Catholics can recover the original essence and meaning of All Hallows' Eve. Walt Disney may have shown us one way to begin in his movie Fantasia. When Disney made Fantasia, Walt was in control in those days. So this movie was the product of the virtuous early Disney, not the present punk culture so evident, and the product of today's Disney studio. The movie Fantasia depicts a witch's night, a Walpurgisnacht. with the souls rising from the graves and dancing as demons around Satan. Some of them are transformed by the sound of a church bell, symbolic of God's words, from demons transformed into angels. Others flee into hell from the sound, revealing their rejection of the word. Others sing Ave Maria and ascend. This is in the movie Fantasia, the animated movie. How Catholic.
Here's my suggestion about Halloween. Just perhaps,
we could restore this corner of our culture by having a costume party for our children at our Catholic churches that begins in mid-afternoon of October 31st, with just a few spunky children playing the part of dancing demons with music, who pelt the other children, some dressed as a favorite saint or a favorite angel, with halos, and some as shabbily dressed as souls in purgatory. They pelt them with something harmless, perhaps decorated ping pong balls, or maybe marshmallows, or some other candy, soft candy. These candies would represent temptations, but they mustn't be eaten at this point. This is a period of fasting. The children playing the demons would be trying to incite little Catholic saints and angels to respond. The saints and angels should take it for a while, abstaining, fasting from eating the candies. They would exercise self-control. They would take it with Catholic patience, turning the other cheek. And finally, they would respond by giving the souls in purgatories and the demons angel food cake, chocolate-covered angel food cake. But they're fasting. They can't eat it yet. They can only have it after Mass. Then they would give the souls in purgatory and the demons candles. And then everyone would light their candles. Then the souls would be transformed, the souls in purgatory. They would take off their outer shabby garments and would have angel costumes underneath. And they would get halos. The demons would become silent and reverent. Perhaps they would go off and return dressed as angels, transformed with halos. Perhaps they would only shed an outer garment, revealing the angelic costume underneath it. The angel children, the soul children, the saint children, and the demon children, a few left, would form a candlelit procession at dusk and go around outside the church grounds bearing candles, perhaps singing some heavenly music, and then process back into the church just in time for the vigil mass on All Saints' Day, just before sunset.
This is only a suggestion, but a wonderfully true and authentic Halloween celebration it would be.
Then after the Mass, everyone could eat the angel food cake and candy they had fasted from, and then have the Mass. And then we could have the usual trunk or treat outside the parking lot that so many Catholic churches do. Just a suggestion. But why not recover the real meaning of Halloween, All Hallows Eve, without sacrificing any of the fun or costumes?
Actually, I'm suggesting that we Catholics take back the culture with taking back the holidays and make them holy days again. Just a suggestion. I hope everyone has a happy Halloween. This is Chuck Coughlin on Setting the Record Straight on RedboxMedia.com.